Now let us turn to Nehemiah and chapter 4 and verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." There is much rubbish. Now, I have great conviction that the church today needs to regain the sense of walls, the importance of walls in the Christian's life. And it is truly significant that we talk so much today of building bridges, but we don't talk about building walls in the church. But if we look at the Bible, we find that there is no mention of bridges, not once. But there are, I don't know how many mentions of walls in the Bible. God is interested in walls. He is interested in the walls of the Christian's life. And I do believe that it is of the utmost importance that we regain something of this concept of walls in Christian life. Now, the modern church has distorted and unbalanced to some extent the whole emphasis of the Christian life away from holiness, the pursuit of holiness, to activities. And to me, the Bible puts holiness at the very beginning, at the very top of the Christian's priorities. That the Christian should seek after holiness of life. The little portion we read in Isaiah chapter 49, it is not without significance that today the church likes to quote the first part of that text, but forgets about the second. It says, "Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands," and they stop there. Description of the love of God for his people. They do not finish the quote, which says, "Behold, thy walls are continually before me." God looks for walls in the Christian's life. He looks at the walls, however good or however poor they may be. He looks at them, he sees them, and let us not miss the word continually. Thy walls are continually before me. So God focuses on what is important to him. Regarding his people's welfare, God's loving concern for his people works itself out in his concern for walls. And he observes these walls continually, and he is concerned about their condition. What are these walls? Well, they are basically walls, dividing walls between the Christian and the world. God has separated his people. In conversion, there is a real separation of the Christian, set apart by God from that moment. Set apart to be holy. So read in Ephesians chapter 1 that God has chosen us in Christ. Why? That He may be holy. That is the aim. That is the ultimate end. Not effectiveness. Not some visible fruit. That is not what's important to God. What is important to God is the walls, the separation of the Christian from the world. Another expression of this separation and of walls is in the book of Job, where Satan complains to God about Job. He says, Job says you because it's so good to him. You built a wall, a hedge, it says, around him, so that I can't reach. Satan saw that hedge. Job didn't see it any more than we see the walls of our lives. But Satan hated that hedge. And Satan hates our walls. He wants to break them down. He wants to see them in a mess, as the walls of Jerusalem were at this point. The most comprehensive dealing with walls is what we have in the book of Nehemiah. It is comprehensive. It is in illustration form, but I don't think there can be any doubt whatsoever as to what is being taught. It is teaching the importance of walls in the Christian life. In times of declension in the church, the walls of Christians' lives, they fall down, they get breaches in them, and they fall into disrepair. But in times of revival, the walls in Christians' lives get repaired and they get built up and restored. This is what we have in the chapter we read is an illustration for us as to how we are going to go about studying the way Nehemiah went about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, a massive, massive task. That is there for us, for guidance, for clear guidance as to how we are going to revive our Christian lives, how we are going to build, rebuild and repair the walls of our Christian lives. And as Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem with his contingent of captives from Babylon, he finds that the previous groups that have come, that they have managed to build the temple. But once the temple was built, they lost their concentration on these things and they started just building their own houses. And the walls of the city were left in ruins. So we have here guidance for us. And I want to just make, I think it's 3 points, about how practically, Nehemiah was a very practical man, a systematic man. And there is here for us systematic steps in which we must take if we are going to rebuild the walls of our lives. First of all, and we're going to apply this tonight, not to the church in general, but to each person, and it really is this. It is each person who must build the walls of their own lives. And the walls of the Christian lives together are the walls of the church. The first step, And a very, very, very important step is the step of an honest diagnosis of the state of our own spiritual life. Nehemiah had heard that the walls had broken down. He heard that in Babylon. That's why he asked leave of the king if he could go and rebuild these walls. But when he got there, that hearsay was not enough. He sets out alone on horseback. I think it's the first night he gets there. Doesn't tell anybody what he's doing. But he sets about on horseback to examine the walls of Jerusalem. And he examined every part without exception. An honest appraisal of the state of the wall so that he would know what had to be done. For us, if we are going to rebuild the walls of our lives, there has to be, first of all, an honest appraisal of the state of our walls. An honest appraisal of the state of our spiritual lives. An honest appraisal of our separation from the world. Separation unto God. And we have that in chapter 2. You can read it and see there how thorough this man was in his survey of the walls of the city. A thorough examination. He had to get at the truth. He had to know the measure of what needed to be done. And he had to be honest. For us, this is a painful business. Self-examination is always painful. But when it focuses upon the walls of our lives, when it focuses upon the degree and the health of our separation from the world, then it becomes even more painful. But that appraisal is foundational to progress. We have to begin with honesty. We have to really examine our lives and just see what the state of our walls are. Whether the walls are in good condition or in bad condition. And I think for most of us like myself, when I look at the walls of my life, I see a lack of separation. I see that the walls are not what they should be. But then I say to myself, God sees it. God is continually watching. He is looking. He is not only interested in what I do, but he is interested in what I am. And he is also interested in what I don't do. He is interested in the walls of my life and of yours. Now, the situation that faced Nehemiah, it was daunting. It was just a huge job. And so it will be with us. It's always a daunting prospect to rebuild the walls of our spiritual life. It is daunting to the point of discouragement. Most of us would have to agree that we have allowed breaches in the wall, and that we have allowed the world to come in And that very often we ourselves have gone out through these breaches and mixed with the world. We go out and we partake of the world's dainties, mixing with things which we should not mix with. And we become more and more like the world, when there should be a great difference between us and the world. Not only were the walls here broken down, but the walls had been broken down for so long that there was rubbish gathering upon the heaps. And the people found that made it difficult even to start. So much rubbish that they could not build until they had used up much of their energy in clearing the rubbish, clearing things that were not useful, stones for building the wall, and throwing it over to the other side, keeping it outside the walls of the city. I think that most of us would agree that our own walls also have much rubbish in them. So many things. Our lives need a clearance of rubbish. I cannot talk about this without saying something about the use of television. Now, television is its influence on societies so massive. This is the main topic of conversation. Now, I don't know much of what goes on television, but I think I can glean that standards have fallen, that there are things which have come in the last few years, things which are awful, painful, and so sad to hear about. Sometimes read reviews of programs in the paper, and I am appalled at what goes on. Even soaps, which, as I remember them, were quite harmless, these have now become corrupted with blatant immorality and perversion and unspeakable things. I do not know these things for myself because I don't use the television. But I do know this, that things have deteriorated to a point where there is very little that a Christian can watch. What I do have experience of is, and I have to say this, that of looking for DVDs, films, which we might enjoy watching, and how difficult, how well nigh impossible it is to get something that you can watch through to the end. That's the way it is, because these things are now for us breaching the walls of our spiritual lives, causing the walls to fall and to be broken down. We are not putting up that barrier of separation which God looks for We have let it fall into disrepair. God says, "Oh, greatly beloved people, thy walls are continually before me." It doesn't say to them, "Oh, greatly loved people, you are doing so much work for the church. You're doing so much work in witnessing. You're doing so much work in evangelism," and although all these things are important. But it is clear from the Word of God that the more important thing to God in the life of the Christian is holiness of life. Separation and walls, barriers that are clear and in good condition. God sees the state of them. He sees the rubbish. And there is no doubt that he is grieved by the rubbish that we sometimes allow into our Christian lives. Question for us is, are we concerned about the Lord's face toward us? Are we concerned about whether it is his smile or his frown that is upon us? Are we perhaps being numbed into a state where we are no longer able to detect or to discern the Lord's face? Whether it is a frown or a smile, no longer we can tell. We have become numbed to it. Hardened in our sensibilities, hardened in our hearts against the ever watchful eye of God. That's the diagnosis. Then there is opposition. Now, notice how much of Nehemiah is taken up with opposition. Everything. Every force was raised against him. Even people, even the Jews who hadn't been taken to Babylon and were settled in Jerusalem, even they, who should have been glad, they weren't. They were opposed. They didn't want their peace disturbed. Yes, there will be opposition. There will be opposition from some who should not be opposing us. Let us not think that our repair of our walls is going to please man. We are not doing it for that. We are doing it to please God. So, we must build, clear up rubbish with determination. And we must rebuild the walls of our lives against determined opposition. And we must keep constant watch. Nehemiah, they didn't even put off their clothes eventually, except to wash. They had two shifts. One shift on watch with all the weapons they could gather, while the other half built it. Even the ones who built, they had a weapon. Sometimes built with a building weapon, a building instrument in one hand and a weapon in the other. That's the determination That is what the opposition requires. It requires a fight. It requires a battle. The degree of our determination must exceed the determination of the enemy. Must do. Otherwise, logically, we are going to fail. Determination to look at certain things, to look at even our conversation, even our search for information. Some people spend their lives just gathering information, gathering it and then passing it on. One wonders why the church particularly should be stricken with that kind of thing. But it is a fact that it is. Do you want to be information brokers? Or do you want to be separated unto God? Rubbish cleared out, walls built. Determination against all opposition. Notice Nehemiah. He cried frequently, constantly cried to God for help. And God heard. And God helped. And the wall was built. If we set our sights on building, rebuilding the walls of our lives, then we have to pray because there will be opposition. Then thirdly, there is organization. There was nothing haphazard about Nehemiah's plan. The actual building of the walls was a model of organization. Because Nehemiah was a logistical genius. We must follow his example. And the rebuilding must be systematic. Systematic, bit by bit, one bit or area at a time. Not doing the whole thing at the one go, but examining each bit, working on it bit by bit, finishing one bit before you start on the next. Bit by bit, step by step, area by area, corner by corner, habit by habit, bondage by bondage, store by store, idol by idol, each part, each area must be dealt with systematically. And if we do it that way, we will succeed. That is how Nehemiah succeeded. We have to follow his example. Finish one part before you begin another. And we will progress. Example here shows us the success that they had. For this utterly discouraging and daunting task. They built and finished the walls in 52 days. Now that was an absolutely amazing achievement. That the walls of Jerusalem were finished in 52 days. Because of the correct diagnosis. Because of the determination against opposition. Because of the organization. plan put into action. And then there is vigilance. Yes. You need to be on a constant watch for people sabotaging your walls. And watching your walls after you've built them. Remember, God looks at them continually. And it is required of us that we look at them continually, vigilantly, watchfully. Make sure that these walls are without breaches. It may be the enemy coming in. It may be you going out. But whatever it is, these are breaches in the wall. Now, of course, we must all engage the world. Yes, this does not say that we do not have to engage the world. But it's not by making breaches in the wall. There are gates on the city. A number of gates, legitimate gates, for people to go out and in. Gates which can be shut. So, we have to go out there, through the gates, not breaching the walls, to go out there and engage the world. Seek to evangelize, seek to witness. That's what we are here for. But we must not breach the walls. And if alien influences breach the walls and come in, then we must confront. And we must stand our ground and order these things out. There must be no compromise. The breach must be repaired as soon as it comes into existence. Now, I know that I've been on this theme perhaps not all that long ago with you. But I make no apology for being on this rather unpopular theme again. But it does concern me so much. Concerns me for myself. Concerns me for the church. Church at large. The church which in our own country today seems so impotent. Question we have to raise is, why is the preaching of the gospel not blessed by God? Is this the answer? Is it the preachers in the wall? One thing is sure, God sees them. And God looks on them continually. Let us pray. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon thy word. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt help us to take on board this somber theme and to find and to look for thine own blessing upon it. And that we might be led, Lord, not to a life of misery, which Satan would tell us it is, to a life of joy, the joy of being right with God. Oh, hear us, O Lord, in this. Forgive our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen.